Welcome to the Outsider Show of Entrepreneurship and Regional Development Podcast. Each publication in our journal is a great opportunity to share significant and audacious contributions to our large audience. My guest today is Efua Owusu-Kwarteng from Newcastle Business School. She recently published an article entitled "Damsels in Distress of the Queens of Change," exploring the sustainable development contributions of women entrepreneurs in poverty contexts. She co-authored this paper with Priscilla Otuwo, Cynthia Forson, Anthony Yelkabong, and Joanne Larty. It has been published in Entrepreneurship and Regional Development, a journal edited by Taylor & Francis. Efua, welcome to our podcast.
Thank you, Vincent. It's lovely to be here today.
Can you tell us what is the origin of your paper and why did you decide to address this particular topic? And what is the key question you aim to answer?
So thank you. This paper, it's originally, you know, evolved from a GCRF UKRI funded project called Recirculate. And that project was focused on promoting eco-innovation in sub-Saharan Africa. Now, part of achieving this objective involved, you know, identifying key stakeholders in these different contexts and that could support the initiative. And interestingly, one of the key stakeholders that were identified was this multinational firm that was involved in recycling in the Ghanaian context. And so we did pay, my co-authors and I, we did pay a visit to this particular organization. Now, during our field visit, we saw something interesting. We realized that this multinational firm obviously was supporting eco-innovation, but at the heart of the activities were these women, market traders in Ghana, who were actually helping them in the market. So these women were guiding their subordinates in terms of how they should put together their refuse, how they should dispose it, how they should select certain bottles and things like that. So basically, they were championing the eco-innovation activities within the Ghanaian context. And so when we saw that they were doing all these, we asked ourselves, why are they not at the seats, you know, at the table? Why are they not there? Why are they not part of this conversation? Why do they seem to have been overlooked, you know, within the Ghanaian context? And so we were drawn to understanding what exactly causes this marginalization of these group of women. And that caused us to read the entrepreneurship literature where we started identifying the fact that when we talk about sustainable development or innovation and things like that, we've tended to focus on corporations, the big firms. So we would hear corporate sustainability, you know, the ESGs and all that. And we look at sustainable development through their lenses. However, recognizing that everyday contexts actually are influential within this development initiative, we thought we needed to start rethinking how we consider what sustainable development is. But more importantly, there's a tendency to categorize a global south and Africa in particular through a poverty lens as well. So when we've seen entrepreneurship from the African perspective, we've tended to think of it as for necessity, you know, it's being done for the economic dimension. And so nothing else beyond that comes out of these entrepreneurial activities. And for women particularly, we see the entrepreneurial activities being very minor. And so we believe, well, they don't really have anything to contribute to anything. And so we thought, maybe we really need to see whether, you know, can women in poverty contexts shape sustainable development action? And actually, if they can, you know, how exactly are they doing that? And so that's one of the key questions that we aim to answer in our paper.
Can you identify the one, maybe two key contributions of your paper that you believe will have the most impact on the field?
Thank you. So building up on what I said initially, I think that's one of the key contributions of this paper is, you know, rethinking and shifting our focus from the tangible or the more explicit forms of entrepreneurial actions that are tackling sustainable development to looking at the everyday modest acts in terms of somebody's collaboration with a colleague, in a marketplace, somebody who is coaching or training their subordinates to think about how they do business, in terms of simple things like cleaning the marketplace in itself. And so we try to draw attention to these people, the people within poverty contexts, but more importantly, these places which are often the targets of sustainable development. So goal one, goal two, whatever, are all zero poverty. And so we don't think that in actual sense, people in poverty contexts can contribute to sustainable development. And so we are thinking that rather than seeing them as targets, can we think of them as active contributors? You know, and I think that is a key contribution that we bring to the narrative. That when next we are thinking of drawing up development actions, can we remember these people and include them in the conversation? Because that will minimize our anxiety on whether we are going to achieve sustainable development at 2030 or not. And so I believe that this is something that is very instrumental for this literature.
What was for you the main theoretical or maybe methodological challenge or challenges in addressing such a questions, and how did you navigate it?
So when we think of sustainable development, we think of it as a political concept, very broad. And our main challenge was how do we operationalize this concept at the micro level? What does sustainable development, when we say that development that meets the needs of the present without compromising the ability of future generations to meet their own needs, it's a mouthful. It's a lot. So what does that mean for the everyday person? What does that mean for someone in a poverty context? What does that mean for a female entrepreneur, you know, who is going about her everyday business? So for us, it was about how do we really bring this concept to the micro level? And I think one of the things we did was when we did the interviews, for example, we did it in the local language, which is Ga and Chi in Ghana, because we wanted the women to speak from their own voices. We wanted them to be at the heart of the research. And for us, that meant that we grounded, you know, their ideas of what development is about, their idea about what they are doing to support this initiative, you know. And for us, I think that's the way that we sort of were able to navigate such a conceptual challenge from that perspective.
Let's talk about the research process itself. Can you share something about the journey, perhaps a turning point during the data collection, a difficult decision you had to make about the research design, or even a moment of doubt? Any surprise or counterintuitive results, something that made you rethink your initial assumptions?
A difficult decision was shifting attention from the key players. And when you are in a big funded project, it is often difficult when these are the major players. So how do you bring these individuals, you know, and center them and make sure that they are heard? And so for us, it was, can we go beyond these key players and make a case for the supposedly marginalized groups, you know? That meant that we went to the field. That meant that we had to let go of our assumptions as researchers of what we understand entrepreneurship to be about. We also needed to understand more broadly what sustainable development was about. And we were only looking at cleaning. So this was something that came up with in the review process, which was very good when we were going through the review process for the research, was we were just looking at cleaning, that these women are just cleaning, you know, and they just clean it and they are just doing this. And we recognized that it was beyond cleaning. It wasn't just somebody, but these women were actually implementing coaching, which is a lifelong learning approach, right? One of the things that sustainable development talks about. And these women were in itself guiding the next generation of sustainability leaders, whether or not they knew it. So these people were their subordinates were often their family members, so their children, their sisters, you know, nieces, and people like that. So we needed to take our lenses from cleaning and see the broader picture of what exactly is happening in this data. And I think that as researchers, we often need to let go. We tend to go to the field with a lot of things of how we are thinking about the people we are going to study. And for us, I think that the fact that we were able to take a pause and recognize that we ourselves as researchers are even limited in our understanding of these people's lives and making them speak for themselves was instrumental in seeing their major contribution to sustainable development, which we would not have seen if we're just thinking of cleanliness.
If you could go back to the beginning of this project, knowing what you know now, what would you do differently and what advice would you give to other scholars embarking on similar research?
Go to the field. Stay longer there. If there was anything that we were doing, I think we would start from going to the field of the places that we wanted to study. And perhaps maybe that would have made us recognize the key players in the first place, or the people that we ourselves, through our research project, are marginalizing, whether or not we know it. So I think if there was anything to do differently, and for anyone who would want to do similar research, it would be go to the field, be observant, enjoy the moment while you're also in the field, and stay with these women. So we were in the marketplaces for days, and we would go each day and see them and talk to them. Sometimes there was a lot of noise with the ongoing activities, but it was also seeing them in their everyday spaces. So if we had to do anything differently, maybe we would have spent longer in the field, you know, so that maybe we could even identify other important key players who we might have missed by not staying in the field longer. From that perspective, that's what I'll say.
Thanks a lot, Ifua, for participating in our show and for pulling back the curtain on your research process, on your article entitled Themselves and Distress of the Queens of Change, Exploring Sustainable Development Contributions of Women Entrepreneurs in Poverty Contexts. All our podcasts are available on entrepreneurship-ed.com and on the main podcast platforms.